Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Sun to its setting.
The name of the Lord is to be praised.
Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord.
Praise his name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
From this time forth and forevermore.
The Lord is high above all nations.
And his glory above the heavens.
He raises the poor from the dust.
And lifts the needy from the ash.
To make them sit with princes.
With the princes of his people.
Amen. be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray.
Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and defend us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after Epiphany is from the book of the prophet Jonah, the third chapter. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. And Jonah began to go into the city, going on a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast. They put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. And when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Trust in the Lord at all times. O people, pour out your heart before him.
God is a refuge for us.
For God alone my soul waits in silence.
From him comes my salvation.
He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress.
I shall not be greatly shaken.
How long will all of you attack a man to batter him?
Like a leaning wall, a tottering fence.
They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood.
They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse.
For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence.
For my hope is from him.
He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress.
I shall not be shaken.
On God rests my salvation and my glory.
My mighty rock, my refuge is God.
Trust in him at all times. O people, pour out your heart before him.
God is a refuge for us.
Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion.
In the mountains they go up. They are together forever to the breath.
Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery.
If riches increase, set not your heart on them.
Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this.
That power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love.
For you will render to a man
according to his work. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Trust in the Lord at all times. O people, pour out your heart before him.
God is a refuge for us.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, the 7th chapter. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For
for the present form of this world is passing away. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord and how to please the Lord, but the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried man or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit, but the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. After John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who
from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text are the opening verses from the Gospel reading. I'll read them again. Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the Gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the Gospel." Amen. This is our text. Time is short. Time is short. That's how it often feels. Those of you in the third or fourth quarter of life sense this. Where has the time gone, you wonder? How could it be 2024 already? Wasn't it just 1980? And you feel the press of time and the narrowing of life. Less strength, lower energy, more doctor appointments, and way too many funerals. The middle-aged feel it too. If the nest isn't empty yet, it won't be long. The hopes and dreams of youth have faded into the ordinary life of paying bills and going on dump runs and grocery shopping. You wonder how long you have left with parents, aunts, uncles, and that generation. That's where I am. The shortness of time isn't just a matter of experience, however. It's also taught in Holy Scripture. You don't have to feel it to believe it's true. God Himself tells us that time is short, no matter what your age. We'll be reminded of this again in less than a month. We'll have the ashes pressed to our foreheads while we hear the words, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The prophets, the apostles, and the Psalms go back to this theme again and again. Man is like grass, like a flower of the field, blooming today, withered and gone tomorrow. It's true not only of man individually, it's true on a wider scale. Kingdoms come and go. Constitutions morph, rulers change. The people, the things, the situations that get you worked up today, the things that make you anxious or afraid right now, you probably won't even remember next week, much less 10, 20, 30, or 40 years from now. None of this will last, not in its present form. And consider how our Lord Jesus speaks of the end. Jesus didn't say, "I'm coming at some point in the future." He said, "Surely I'm coming soon." Soon. So we only have two ways to think about the time of his return. It's either soon or it's now. Time may be fleeting, yet time is also God's gift. The Psalms say, "My times are in your hands. The thoughts of man are but a breath. Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Establish the work of our hands." Life is precious. So precious. All of life is precious. Every single life, from conception to natural death, is precious. That includes the unborn and the so-called unwanted, the handicapped and the disabled, the weak and the frail, the displaced and the impoverished, and your life too. Every life is of great worth to our God, including yours. And time, like life, is also purposeful. Decades, years, months, weeks, days, even hours, minutes, and seconds, none of it is meaningless. All of it has been given us by God. Time
created by him, has a purpose and it has a direction. It doesn't just go in an endless circle nowhere. It's headed somewhere. Time comes from him and it leads us back to him. That's what time is for. In the first reading today, we heard Jonah preaching to the great city of Nineveh, the capital of Assyria. As he was preaching, it was clear that time was of the essence. He told them, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." 40 days. That's not much time. Less than 6 weeks. He was telling them that less than six weeks, the hammer of God's judgment would fall on them. How would you respond to a proclamation like that? They didn't laugh. They didn't ignore it. They didn't continue on their merry way. No, the people of Nineveh, they heard and they believed, much to Jonah's disappointment, I might add. They believed God as he spoke to them through the prophet. They called for a fast. They put on sackcloth, both king and commoner. I mean, think about that. In response to what they heard, in response to God's threats, they changed how they ate and what they wore. They expressed their repentance through food and clothing. It made me wonder, when did sackcloth go out of fashion? And why don't we ever wear it? Is it because we don't think we need to repent? God saw what they did and he relented. He spared them. He forgave them. So that what he revealed to Moses was revealed again to be true. He is the Lord, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Keeping steadfast love and faithfulness for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. St. Paul wrote about time to the Christians in Corinth. "The appointed time has grown very short," he said. What does that mean for us? It means that while we live in the world, and while we have dealings with this world, we aren't to cling to the world or to put our trust in it. It struck me that that's a reminder we need always, but especially in an election year. We are not to cling to this world, and we are not to put our trust in it. "For the present form of this world is passing away," St. Paul said. So don't live as if the passing things, the headlines that get you anxious today, are going to be eternal. You won't even remember it a week from now. So live out your time free from anxieties and with undivided devotion to the Lord. Let your eyes be fixed on him. And then there are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. As we heard, he came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." The way Jesus sees it, it's not just that the time is short. He says the time is fulfilled. Jesus is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament promises and the fulfillment of time itself. He came in time. He fills time. He is the Lord of time. How often do we act as if time itself is our Lord, as if our clock or our calendar is the thing that we have to answer to? Time is not our Lord. Jesus is our Lord. And time reports to him. Time itself takes its purpose and its meaning from him. And we know this. I mean, one of the ways that we show this in our lives is that we gather here week after week after week. Our time becomes shaped by our gathering here in the divine service, by our hearing of his word and receiving of the absolution and partaking of the holy communion of Christ's body and blood. We may think of it as an hour and a half on Sunday morning, but this is the fulcrum of our life and our time. It shapes all of it. When I think about this, it also makes me realize that it's no wonder that those who don't know our Lord so often find time to be meaningless and purposeless. Or they use their time to devote themselves to things that perish and spoil and fade. So what are we waiting for? The kingdom of God is at hand. His gracious reign and rule has already begun in Jesus, and it's here, hidden, but really and truly here. We look no further than his word and his sacraments to see it. Jesus tells us what to do in the time that we have, in this time now. Repent and believe in the gospel. Not next year, not next month, not next week, not tomorrow, not in an hour, but now. Repent. Some hear that word and think, but I have repented. I've already repented. I did that. Box checked. That word obviously no longer applies to me. But Jesus doesn't ask, well, have you repented? Or did you repent in the past? He just says, repent right now. Renounce your sin and the things that enslave you. Turn from them. You know, in the way that St. Mark gives us the gospel, repent is the very first word Jesus says. He begins his public ministry by preaching that word. So we should hear the word repent not simply as something that Jesus said once, for that time, for that place, for me in a different stage of life or at a different time. This is what he says to people of all times and all places, including to you, right here, right now. Repent? Others may think, well, surely Jesus means someone else. I need no repentance. Not necessary for me. I'm a good person. I lead a pretty decent life. Why would I need to repent? I'll tell you, there was nothing that I've ever heard so heartbreaking as hearing that sentiment come out of the mouth of someone who had grown up at the church that I served in Indiana. Yet Jesus doesn't say, repent if you think you need to. Repent if you've done something really bad. He just says, repent. He leaves no one out. To one and all, to those of you who think you've already repented, and to those of you who think you don't need to, Jesus says, repent. It's not only the things we've done or said or thought. It's also the nature we've inherited from our parents, the fallen nature. All of us stand guilty. Just run through the Ten Commandments and try not to flinch. I'm going to take you through the first three. You shall have no other gods. And yet, you've had other gods. Maybe not an idol set up in your house that you pray to, but other people and other things that you've set before the triune God. You feared, loved, and trusted in other things more than him. What things? Be honest. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. But have you called upon him in every trouble, first thing? Prayed without ceasing, praised him, and thanked him as you should. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Too often God's word gets treated lightly with indifference. Honestly, we've spent too much of our time chasing other gods, not honoring the Lord's name as we should, faltering in our worship and prayers. And that doesn't even touch on the other commandments. Honor your father and mother, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false testimony, don't covet. We've broken those too. So what does that little word repent do? It convicts us of sin. If it feels like a scalpel in your life, well, that's how it should feel. It points out our rebellion against our God and our King. And it produces sorrow. We're sincerely sorry for all of this. We wish that we weren't this way. We want to do better. We want to stop sinning, and we want to do more good. We want our misspent time forgiven. We want our present and future time made holy and sanctified. So repentance doesn't just happen once. It is the ongoing reality of our life as Christians. We're called to daily repentance, every single day, until death. This is how we fight against the sin that remains in our flesh. But I don't want to leave you wallowing in your sin, as if the only thing we do every day is look at ourselves and our sin. We don't even have to look that closely. We know it's there. Jesus goes on, he says, repent and believe in the gospel. What is the gospel? Where does he lead us to through repentance? Christ Jesus crucified and risen from the dead for us sinners and for our salvation. That's the gospel. It's what Jesus ultimately came to do, not just to point the finger at sinners, but rather to give forgiveness from his own hands. From the very beginning, from that first word that he preached, he fixed his eyes on the cross and all that the cross involved. His innocent suffering, his precious blood paid in full. Jesus Christ came not to condemn us sinners. He came to forgive us. What does he do with his time? He fills time with his holy life and his innocent suffering and with the precious forgiveness won on the cross. So yes, we daily sin much. We surely deserve nothing but punishment. But for his sake, we don't get what we deserve. And by God's grace, we believe this promise of forgiveness. You see, our days are marked not simply by our sin. Our days are marked. Our time is marked by his forgiveness. Peter and Andrew and James and John heard the call of Jesus. He simply said, follow me. And they did. They didn't wait for a different time. They didn't wait for a better time. They acted with urgency. They acted with immediacy. As if they had a sense that there was no time to lose. Instead of picking the teacher they wanted to follow, the teacher picked them. His word was powerful in their lives. They became different people. They lived differently. Can you imagine where Peter's life would have gone if he hadn't followed Jesus? I mean, it ended in such a different and marvelous way. Following him, they would witness the raising of Jairus' daughter. They would see Jesus transfigured. They would join him as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. But most of all, following Jesus, they received from him forgiveness and new life over and over and over again. And what he preached to them, they came to preach to others. So our time here is short, yes. But God has made this a time of repentance and faith. You don't need to lament the passing of time. His blood has covered the past, whatever the past involved. What did you leave behind to follow Jesus? What do you need to leave behind now? Do it. Do it not because you need to do it to earn his forgiveness. Do it because right now, in this present time, you have his forgiveness. Whatever days you have as a gift from him. So thank him for those days, and thank him for the forgiveness he pours out in those days. And hear our Lord's call now and every day. Repent and believe in me. Follow me. Where, Lord? Where are we going? Follow me, he says, through this present time, through this world that is passing away, through the sin and death that weigh so heavily, and follow me into the life of the world to come, into the endless joy and the new creation and the things that never pass away. And so we do. We leave it behind. and we follow him with his forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding guards your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
You may be seated. I now invite forward Paige Jansen to stand here. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Lift up your heart, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you this day in the presence of God and of this congregation acknowledge the gift that God gave you in your baptism, and say, "Yes, I do."
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways, and say, "Yes, I renounce them."
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit, and say, "Yes, I believe."
Yes, I believe.
Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God, and the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from them and confessed in the Small Catechism to be faithful and true, then say, "I do." Do you intend to hear the Word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully, then say, "I do, by the grace of God."
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you intend to live according to the Word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit even to death, then say, "I do, by the grace of God."
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church, and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? Then say, "I do, by the grace of God."
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you desire to become a member of this congregation?
I do.
Will you support the work our gracious Lord has given this congregation with your prayers, and the gifts God has given you? Then say, "I will, with the help of God."
I will. God.
We rejoice with thankful hearts that you have been baptized and have received the teaching of the Lord. You have confessed the faith and been absolved of your sins. As you continue to hear the Lord's word and receive his blessed sacrament, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Please be gone. Kalisha and Yvonne, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Upon this, your confession, I acknowledge publicly that you are a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this congregation. Receive the Lord's Supper and participate with us in all the blessings of salvation that our Lord has given to his church, In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I ask the congregation to stand, please. Let us pray.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing Kalisha Yavan to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and enabling her both with the heart to believe and with the mouth to confess his saving name. Grant that, bringing forth the fruits of faith, she may continue steadfast and victorious to the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Welcome.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For faithfulness and urgency in the church, that as this world passes away, we may be bold to proclaim the kingdom of God come near in Christ Jesus, who does not desire the death of sinners, but that all would repent and believe. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church's mission, that as Christ called Peter and Andrew, James and John, to follow him and made them fishers of men, he would send faithful preachers also in our time. For Pastor John and Melinda Bombaro and Michael and Nancy Jane Maurizio, that their work in the Eurasia mission field would bear much fruit. For Patrick Jackson, that his vicarage would prepare him to serve in the office of the Holy Ministry, and that Laura and their family would be blessed. And for those who generously support the missionaries, seminaries, colleges, and work of our church for the spread of the gospel, let us pray to the Lord. For Christians in every home, that they may have contentment and live faithfully in their God-given stations, despite every current distress as this world passes away. For the married, that God would give them comfort and faithfulness, strengthening them also to pass on the faith to the next generation. And for the unmarried, that assured of the holiness of their place in life, they would live freed from anxiety and attend to holiness in body and spirit with undivided devotion to Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our nation with its rulers, that God would spare our president, our governor, and all who serve for the good of this people, that God would call to repentance those who have forgotten him, and that he would not let disaster befall us, but preserve us in peace and quietness. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in the armed forces who are deployed and preparing to deploy, especially for Lucia and her unit, and for Tim as he helps ready them, that they would be kept in safety and serve with integrity and honor, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all of us, that our merciful Father would turn us away from every distracting anxiety and the dealings of this world that draw our hearts away from his blessed gospel and its end, eternal life. For confidence in the resurrection and the peace of a clean conscience by the forgiveness of sins. And that God would graciously behold and help those for whom we pray, especially John, Amara, Kimberly and her family, Dick, Amy, Rob, Emily, Kate, Blair, Karen, Kristen, Marguerite, Mary, Rick and Teresa, Sarah, Teddy, Tommy, and Verity. And with thanksgiving for the mercy shown to Amanda, let us pray to the Lord. For the unborn, that their lives may be preserved with the full protection of the law, and their care supported by the full resources of the medical arts. For all mothers with child, including Stephanie and Shayla. For the comfort of all who suffer infertility or miscarriage. For all women and men affected by abortion, that they might receive mercy and help. For First Concern, CareNet, Clearway Clinic, and Problem Pregnancy, their clients, staff, and boards, that they would provide hope and help in times of need. For the elderly, those with disabilities, and all who are homebound, that their lives would be treated with dignity and respect, especially for Anita, Georgia, Barbara, Ruth, Rose, Ed, Rick, Jeanette, and Andrea. And finally, for courage to speak up and act on behalf of those who cannot speak for themselves, let us pray to the Lord. For all who come to the Holy Sacrament, that the Holy Spirit would work repentance and faith in us, united in a sincere confession of his divine truth at this altar, let us pray to the Lord. Hear us, Heavenly Father, for the sake of Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 holy,
against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Reading today is from Jonah, chapter 2, starting at the first verse. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought me up to life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, into your temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Salvation belongs to the Lord.
this rosary.
And preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Blessed be the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.